So, Bershus, my dear friend, the Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbi David, and my dear friend, Rav Hillel, and all the other Mebitzi Torah, and young, future, aspiring Talmidei Chachamim, I'm happy to see you again. I do not recall when we met last time. I think it was a few months ago or a year ago.
Last year, the Holy Yeshiva came. A few months ago, my shir came.
So I understand that many of you tonight will be flying out, going back home and leaving our beloved and holy land. So what could I say to Yeshiva Bochem, leaving Yeshiva and going back home? Will some of the boys be coming back next year? Many of them?
Some of them.
So I'm sure this was a life-changing experience, the yeshiva experience. So what is the yeshiva all about? In Ksuvos Dav Samech Beis, there's an interesting story. Rabbi Hananya ben Chakinoi, Hava Ka'ozel HaBeirav B'Shilei Hilulei D'Rab Shimon B'Yechoi. It was the middle of the Sheva Brochas of Rab Shimon B'Yechoi, and his friend, Rab Hananya ben Chakinoi, decides to go to the yeshiva, to leave town and go to yeshiva. Omalei Reb Shimon Iyakivli. Reb Shimon asks his friend, wait 2 or 3 days till I finish Sheva Brochas and we'll go together. I can't leave my kallah in the middle of the Sheva Brochas. What will they say? What will my mother-in-law say? What will my father-in-law say? I don't want to be that rude, but if you could just wait till after the Sheva Brochas and we'll go together. Lo Yakovle, he did not wait, and he left on his own. And then the Gemara tells the famous, magnificent story of Rabbi Hananya ben Chakinoi being 12 years away from home, learning Torah, dedicating all his time and energy and efforts to grow in Torah. And after 12 years, he decides to come back home. Comes back to town, and they changed the entire infrastructure. The roads doesn't find his way home. Nothing looks familiar. Goes down to the river. Nobody could change the river. So he remembered where the river was. And he sees some young women doing laundry. And suddenly he hears someone cry out, Bas Chakinoi, the daughter of Chakinoi. He looked at her carefully and he realized, that's my daughter. He didn't see her for 12 years, so somewhat looked different. He follows her home, and yes, this is my house. Walks into the house, and his wife, the tzedekah, sees him, and she was so moved that it brought about her demise. She died. And he stands before Kodesh Baruch Hu and he says, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, this tzedekis, is this what she deserves for her mesilas nefesh for Torah, sitting 12 years without me, enabling me to become the Gadol HaDor? And then he performs Tchiyas HaMeis. That's a story, an unbelievable story. The Maram Shef has a very short comment. Reb Shimon asks Reb Hananya, wait 2 or 3 days, let's go together. And Reb Hananya decides, no, he's not going to wait. Tzorachiyun ma'amash miyeni bizeh. Why is this dialogue important? What's the Ravusa? What do Chazal want to teach us? Obviously, the climax of the story is Tchiyas HaMeisim, Mesilas Nefesh for Torah. But what is the Ravusa, and what do Chazal mean to teach us with this dialogue? Reb Shimon says, wait, and he decides not to wait. And I think maybe that is the most important factor of this story, and the most fascinating one. Why? Reb Hananya ben Chakinoi is the one that teaches us a Masechet Avos, Hamahalech v'derech biyechidi. Umefaner liboy medivrei Torah hareze mischayev benashoy. It's not coincidental. That is Reb Hananya ben Chakinoy in Masechet Avos. Person that travels on his own. And kol hadrochim becheska sakana. In days of yore, every journey was a sakana. And when you left your home into the desert, into the forest, into the plains, your life was in danger. And therefore Chazal say two must travel together. One is the scout, finding his way, and the other could learn Torah. And Torah safeguards you. Torah agune magni. And therefore Reb Hananya ben Chakinoy says, Amahalech bederech biyechidi. Somebody goes out on his way into the forest, into the desert, into the plains. Umefana liber midivrei Torah. If he's on his own, he can't learn. If he'll learn, he'll never get there. And that is why Arezim is Chayev ben Asher. So Reb Shimon tells Reb Hananya, wait for me. I know you're going to wait. You got to wait. Because you are the one that taught us Amaharach b'derech b'yechidi umefana libe midivrei Torah Arezim is Chayev ben Asher. So Reb Shimon smiles to Reb Hananya and he says, I would like to go together with you in yeshiva, but it's in the middle of my sheva brochas. Wait a few days, and I know you're going to wait for me, because otherwise, Arezim is Chayev ben Avshoy. And Reb Hananya ben Chakinoy does not wait. Isn't that a revusa? Why doesn't he wait? Because he wants to learn Torah. But doesn't he learn at home? What? As long as they were in town, they didn't learn. Of course he learns at home. But it's not the same as Talmud Torah B'Yeshiva. So achieving 2 or 3 days of Talmud Torah B'Yeshiva, it is Kedai. Harezem is Chayim ben Asher. So Reb Hananya ben Chakinoy was in a real dilemma. Should he wait? Or should he not wait? To wait or not to wait? To be or not to be? That was Reb Hananya ben Chakinoy's dilemma. And if he would wait those 2 or 3 days, he would have the greatest chavrusa in the world on his way. His chavrusa would be Reb Shimon bar Yochai. And even so, nevertheless, he decides, I will not forfeit, forego few days of Talmud Torah be yeshiva. Because there is no Talmud Torah like Talmud Torah be yeshiva. B'dibuk chaverim, b'pilpul ha-talmidim. Nothing compares to learning in yeshiva. So we all have a mitzvah of kaveya itim le-Torah, as you all know. And even businessmen have to dedicate some of their time to learning Torah, but nothing compares to Talmud Torah B'Yeshiva. So I think that's the biggest revus of this entire story. The dialogue, when Reb Shimon says, wait, you gotta wait. It is you that says, Arezim is Chayev ben Avshoy, and he does not wait. Because he does not want to lose 2 or 3 days of Talmud Torah B'Yeshiva. So Talmud Torah B'Yeshiva is Talmud Torah in debt. It is Amkes HaTorah and it is Semchas HaTorah. And it is the only way to really achieve greatness in Torah. Dibuk Chaverim, Pilpul Talmidim. The dialogue, the argumentation. And that is one of the gifts of the Jews to the world. The art of dialogue and argumentation that we find in Bavli and in Yerushalmi. And many outsiders are confused. Everything one says, the other says differently. Whatever I say, you dispute. What is this about the Gemara? That is the nature of Gemara, and that is the only way to really achieve greatness in Torah and understand the profound depth of Torah. Only by checking every venue and every option and every svara. And that is what is unique about Talmud Torah B'Yeshiva. Simchas HaTorah, Chelves HaDishmaitzah, Pilpulo Shel Torah, and that is what yeshivas are all about. And the yeshiva was the very first institution our people ever had. Who was the first Rosh Hashiva? Do you know? Who was the very first Rosh Hashiva? Before Rav Shemesh Gop. Before Rav Shach. Before Rav Chaim Evalazhin. Shame? Oh. You're right, but it's not what I meant. I think the first Rosh Hashiva was Avraham Avinu. Because in Yomed Avchav Ches, Chazal say Avraham Zokhen V'yoshev V'yeshiva. Yitzchok Zokhen V'yoshev V'yeshiva. Yankov Zokhen V'yoshev V'yeshiva. U'miyameyem shel Avoseinu V'posk Yeshiva Mehem. But you said Shem. And Shem was older than Avraham. Shem was the son of Noach. You're right. But the difference is Shem wasn't Jewish. He was a Goyish Rosh Hashiva. He was a Rosh Hashiva because Yaakov Avinu learned in Beis Shem Ve'Eivor. I think it was somewhat like the Fakulta LeTalmud Universita Ivrit. That was the Yeshiva of Shem. It was like taking a course in Talmud in Harvard or in Yale. Not really yeshiva in the sense of the way we relate to yeshivas. After all, Shem and Abel were Jewish. So the first Jewish Rosh Hashiva was Avraham Avinu. And Chazal say, Ka Avraham, Kein Yitzchak, Kein Yaakov, Umi Yemeyem Shel Avoseinu, Leposki Yeshiva Mehem. Because the yeshiva is the oxygen we breathe, and we cannot survive as a people without yeshivas. And when Yaakov Avinu realizes that it is his destiny to go to Mitzrayim, and he feels intuitively, or he feels and knows by Ruach HaKodesh, that it's not going to be a short visit in Eretz Mitzrayim. It is the beginning of a long galus. What is Yankov's primary concern? What is the first act that he does? Es Yehuda Sholach Lafonov, he sends Yehuda before he actually goes down to Mitzrayim with his family. And Chazal say, what was Yehuda's mission? Why was he sent in advance? Letaken loy beis Talmud. Yankov sends Yehuda to open up a koilo. So why not go together? Why not go together? You're going to get there, and one of the first initiatives you're going to have is moiking yeshiva, making a koil. Yankov says, no. I need a beis Talmud when I get there. I don't want to be one day with my children and my grandchildren without a yeshiva. And he sends Yehuda in advance, letaken loy beis Talmud. No, we can't do that after we'll get there. We need a yeshiva as we unpack. We need a yeshiva. The other day in the morning, the boys should have where to go and learn Torah. Es Yehuda Sholach Lafonov. And I think I shared that with you in the past. This is an idea I once heard from my late father, Zecher Tzadik Levrochem, and I actually saw, and I showed my father, that it is the Bionis and Ivishitz in Yaris Devash that makes this amazing realization. We didn't have shuls till a much later period, because it is only Anshei Knesset HaGdol in the days of Bayis Sheni that formulated Nusach HaTfilah. It was only they that formulated Kaddish and Kedusha. And as long as you don't have Kaddish and Kedusha, there's no need for a minyan. And if you don't need a minyan, there's no reason to have a shul. So it was only 1,000 years later that we actually established shuls. Because when Anshei Knesset HaGdol formulated Kaddish and Kedusha, and that is a Duvish of Kedusha, and you can't say a Duvish of Kedusha Elo Basora. So that necessitated getting together to daven. And if you need to get together to daven, then that is when they established and built shuls. So we had yeshivas, Botei Talmud, far before we had Botei Tefillah, shuls. So the yeshiva was with us from day one. U'miyameyem shel Avoseinu leposku yeshiva mehem. Because we cannot survive as a people without yeshivas. And Yaakov Avinu, even before he puts his foot and builds his first tent in Eretz Mitzrayim, he had a kol, he had a yeshiva, Be'ez Yehuda Sholoch Lachem. I guess that last time we met, I told you this story, how my father first met the Kloisa Magalevi. My father arrived in Birkenau and Auschwitz first day, Shavuos, 1944. The Kloisa Magalevi arrived one day later, second day Shavuos. And my father made a great effort to meet him, to be close to him. And when they very first met, my father said he's so happy and he hopes to become close to the Rebbe. And the Rebbe was taken aback, and he told him, it's not going to do you any good. It won't make any difference, the fact that you're going to be close to me. To which my father responded, my father was 18 years old, not even 18, coming on 18. And my father responded, of course, it's going to do me good. We could talk and learning. And the Rebbe was surprised, and he said, you're in Auschwitz, and you want to talk and learning? To which my father responded, of course I want to talk and learning. If we don't, how will we ever make it? How will we survive? So my father, as a young boy, felt deep in his heart, our only chance to prevail, to survive, is only if we'll talk and learn. And the Rebbe hugged him, and they talked and learning for the next 13 months, till they were freed from the Nazi terror in Machshamam. And they took the warning for the next 50 years, because my father became the right-hand man and one of the closest people to the great Kloisa Magalevi. And me and my brothers are his talmidim. So that was my father's feeling as a young boy, intuitively. If we don't talk and learning, we have no chance to survive. And that is what Klal Yisrael felt 2,000 years ago. If we don't talk and learning, we could never make it. So when Titus, or Aspasianus, asks Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, what is your request before Churban HaBayis? What was his request? Tan li Yavna v'chachome. And that was so profound. What leadership. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai understands the Beis HaMikdash is going to be reduced to ashes. So the central institutions of the Jewish people will become practically irrelevant. If there is no Beis HaMikdash and there are no kabonis, then the kahuna loses its relevance. There will be no Kohen Gadol. And the Koyanim will no longer be so central to the survival of our people. Without a Beis HaMikdash, Kohuna is not really relevant. And the Nesius, Malchus, and Nesius of Malchus Beis David, irrelevant, because we will no longer have sovereignty. And if we aren't a sovereign people, Malchus is irrelevant, then Nesius is practically irrelevant. What will keep us going as a people? Tan li Yavna v'chachome. So sometimes in our dialogue with more modern circles, whether it's in Eretz Yisrael or abroad or in America, and we are described and defined as Galus Jews, Yehudim Galutiyim. I say we are Yavne Jews. If you wish to call it Galus Jews, okay, that's your choice. But we are Yavne Jews. We are those that carry the torch of Yavna v'Chachamei. And when Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai becomes aware, no chance of saving the Beis HaMikdash, and he has to decide, what will we salvage? What is the most important thing to keep us going, to guarantee our future as a people, as a nation? He says, Ten li Yavna v'chachomeo. What I need is the Beis HaMikdash and the Chachmei HaTorah. That is the only guarantee for our future. And me'az ad hayoyim hazeh. It is Yavna v'chachameo that keep us alive. They're our sustenance. They're the oxygen in our lungs. And that is our only chance of survival ad bias goyel seb. Those, that is what yeshivas are all about. So I'm sure you took advantage of your wonderful time learning Torah in Eretz Yisrael, learning Torah ba'avira di Eretz Yisrael, in the Holy Land, the land of our forefathers, the land of Torah, and the land of Avod. So you're going home. Some of you will be coming back. Others will be staying in America. And I don't know where life will take you. Some of you might be doctors, some of you might be lawyers, many of you might be, I hope, successful businessmen. Maybe some of you will decide to dedicate your lives to teach Torah. And that is the greatest job I could recommend. My job. I know very people that are excited every day on the job. Very few people. If you're in business, you have some good days, you have some bad days. That's the nature of business. That's the nature of money. It is the ebb and flow of money. Some deals work out, others flop. So whatever you do, you're not excited every day. I know some people that are tour guides. So the tourists they take around are excited. They're amazed. They see beautiful things. But the guide says, I would much rather stay at home. I was here 100 times. I say the same stories every day, exactly the same. I can tell this in the middle of my sleep. Let me tell you, I get excited every day. And I visit sites I've seen 100 times. And every time I visit again, they look new. And I always see new things that I never realized before. I've been here 100 times. I've been here 200 times. But every time I revisit, looks new, and it looks different. So yes, I'm excited every day on my job. I don't have clear hours in my job. I don't know when I start and when I end. And it is only because I enjoy so much what I'm doing, so I don't really care when my job begins and when my day ends. So if you're considering different job options, I would definitely recommend that tops all the others. But wherever life takes you, and whatever you will be ultimately, take along this experience, the yeshiva experience. And when you need to leave the yeshiva, take along the yeshiva with you. Isn't that what Chazal say? Avraham zok yoshev yeshiva, Yitzchok Yankov zok yoshev yeshiva, Miyamim shalom say, Eloi poski yeshiva mehem. That means wherever they went, they took along their yeshivas. And the yeshiva must be part of your nefesh, of your neshama, of who you are, of what you are. So this is an experience to be cherished. Those of you coming back and those of you not coming back. But let this experience be part of you and take it along wherever you may come. Keep in touch with the yeshiva, with your rebbeim. I know how much they care about you, how much they love you, and keep in touch. And my bracha to you is, you should all be Talmid HaChachamim and Oivdei Hashem B'Simcha.
Amen.
Try always to be Kaveya Itim L'Torah. That is a chiyuv that we find in the Shulchan Aruch. And the Torah should be your sustenance, your simcha, your pride, and your very essence. So that is my bracha to you. You should all be Ohavi Torah, Ohavi Hashem, the Ohavi Belei Bar Shalom.
Amen.
Yes.